would also have enjoyed an advantage. Lizards were and are largely impervious to the bacteria in rotting carcasses. Indeed, often they are positively drawn to it, and for a long while there were clearly a lot of putrid carcasses about. It is often wrongly stated that only small animals survived the KT event. In fact, among the survivors were crocodiles, which were not just large, but three times larger than they are today. But on the whole, it is true, most of the survivors were small and furtive. Indeed, with the world dark and hostile, it was a perfect time to be small, warm-blooded, nocturnal, flexible in diet, and cautious by nature, the very qualities that distinguished our mammalian forebears. Had our evolution been more advanced, we would probably have been wiped out. Instead, mammals found themselves in a world to which they were as well-suited as anything alive. However, it wasn't as if mammals swarmed forward to fill every niche. Evolution may abhor a vacuum, wrote the paleobiologist Stephen M. Stanley, but it often takes a long time to fill it. For perhaps as many as 10 million years, mammals remained cautiously small. In the early tertiary, if you were the size of a bobcat, you could be king. But once they got going, mammals expanded prodigiously, sometimes to an almost preposterous degree. For a time, there were guinea pigs the size of rhinos, and rhinos the size of a two-story house. Wherever there was a vacancy in the predatory chain, mammals rose, often literally, to fill it. Early members of the raccoon family migrated to South America, discovered a vacancy, and evolved into creatures the size and ferocity of bears. Birds, too, prospered disproportionately. For millions of years, a gigantic, flightless, carnivorous bird called Titanus was possibly the most ferocious creature in North America. Certainly, it was the most daunting bird that ever lived. It stood 10 feet high, weighed over 800 pounds, and had a beak that could tear the head off pretty much anything that irked it. Its family survived in formidable fashion for 50 million years, yet until a skeleton was discovered in Florida in 1963, we had no idea that it had ever existed. Which brings us to another reason for our uncertainty about extinctions, the paltriness of a fossil record. We have touched already on the unlikelihood of any set of bones becoming fossilized, but the record is actually worse than you might think. Consider dinosaurs. Museums give the impression that we have a global abundance of dinosaur fossils. In fact, overwhelmingly, museum displays are artificial. The giant Diplodocus that dominates the entrance hall of the Natural History Museum in London and has delighted and informed generations of visitors is made of plaster, built in 1903 in Pittsburgh and presented to the museum by Andrew Carnegie. The entrance hall of the American Museum of Natural History in New York is dominated by an even grander tableau, a skeleton of a large Barosaurus defending her baby from attack by a darting and toothy Allosaurus. It is a wonderfully impressive display. The Barosaurus rises perhaps 30 feet toward the high ceiling, but also entirely fake. Every one of the several hundred bones in the display is a cast. Visit almost any large natural history museum in the world, in Paris, Vienna, Frankfurt, Buenos Aires, Mexico City, and what will greet you are antique models, not ancient bones. The fact is, we don't really know a great deal about the dinosaurs. For the whole of the age of dinosaurs, fewer than 1,000 species have been identified, almost half of them known from a single specimen, which is about a quarter of the number of mammal species alive now. Dinosaurs, bear in mind, ruled the Earth for roughly three times as long as mammals have, so either dinosaurs were remarkably unproductive of species, or we have barely scratched the surface, to use an irresistibly apt cliché. For millions of years through the age of dinosaurs, not a single fossil has yet been found. Even for the period of the late Cretaceous, the most studied prehistoric period there is, thanks to our long interest in dinosaurs and their extinction, some three-quarters of all species that lived may yet be undiscovered. Animals bulkier than the Diplodocus, or more forbidding than Tyrannosaurus, may have roamed the Earth in the thousands, and we may never know it. Until very recently, everything known about the dinosaurs of this period came from only about 300 specimens representing just 16 species. The scantiness of the record led to the widespread belief that dinosaurs were on their way out already when the KT impact occurred. In the late 1980s, a paleontologist from the Milwaukee Public Museum, Peter Sheehan, decided to conduct an experiment. Using 200 volunteers, he made a painstaking census of a well-defined but also well-picked-over area of the famous Hell Creek Formation in Montana. Sifting meticulously, the volunteers collected every last tooth and vertebra and chip of bone, everything that had been overlooked by previous diggers. The work took 3 years. When finished, they found that they had more than tripled the global total of dinosaur fossils from the late Cretaceous. The survey established that dinosaurs remained numerous right up to the time of the KT impact. There is no reason to believe that the dinosaurs were dying out gradually during the last 3 million years of the Cretaceous, Sheehan reported. We are so used to the notion of our own inevitability as life's dominant species that it is hard to grasp that we are here only because of timely extraterrestrial bangs and other random flukes. The one thing we have in common with all other living things is that for nearly 4 billion years, our ancestors have managed to slip through a series of closing doors every time we needed them to. Stephen Jay Gould expressed it succinctly in a well-known line, "Humans are here today because our particular line never fractured, never once at any of the billion points that could have erased us from history." We started this chapter with 3 points. Life wants to be, life doesn't always want to be much, life from time to time goes extinct. To this we may add a fourth, life goes on. And often, as we shall see, it goes on in ways that are decidedly amazing. 23. The richness of being. Here and there in the Natural History Museum in London, built into recesses along the underlit corridors or standing between glass cases of minerals and ostrich eggs and a century or so of other productive clutter, are secret doors. At least secret in the sense that there is nothing about them to attract the visitor.